Brian Schachman here. I'm Brian and Company. We're here with Andrea Barton Reeves, Commissioner of the Connecticut Department of Social Services. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Have you ever been here?
I have, a long time ago. Yeah.
With Ray Dunaway or with the other stations?
No,
or?
I think I was with Ray.
Yeah?
Yeah, way back in the day.
Well, it's good to meet you.
Thank
we have
you.
Not met yet. And I said, I don't bite. But we got some tough, very, very challenging topics to talk about. And I think for in general, I'm just curious, because I like to do this, especially when I haven't really talked to you before. What Connecticut Social Services, it's an umbrella. What's underneath your umbrella?
So we have basically four pillars. The first is economic security. So that is where we provide support for people who are very low income and very poor. We are primarily known as the SNAP and Medicaid agencies. So SNAP was formerly known as food stamps. And Medicaid is the insurance agency for people who are poor and low income and for nursing homes and hospitals. I think a lot of people don't know that. We also provide adult protective services. So if your auntie or your uncle or your grandfather is living at home and they're having a tough time, that actually falls under DSS. And the other thing we do that I think people don't know about is that we administer all of the programs that help people with their heating and community action agencies. So it's a wide swath of things that we do that you wouldn't think would be all under one agency, but they are.
And so in terms of, it's all funded through the state budget?
It is.
So was this like a stressful, how was the session for you? Like, how do you approach it? Do you do the lobbying directly? Do you have a team that does it? And how does that whole thing work for like a department like yours?
Yeah, it's both. So I have a fantastic team, one of whom is here, Christine. And
who knows the state capitol quite well.
She does
Christine
know,
Stewart.
Yes, she knows exceptionally well. So we have a wonderful team of people who know the legislators well and build relationships with them. So they do a lot of that work. But I know them well, too, because I have essentially grown up in this community. I'd say I spent almost all of my adult life in Connecticut. So I know a lot of the legislators from work that I've done before. I have good relationships with them. And even when we disagree, we can come to some kind of agreement or agree to disagree until the next session.
Did you get everything you wanted?
In the session, I actually did.
Wow, yeah. You don't hear that very often.
I know. We were very fortunate. We really were.
Is there, you know, one of the main issues, you know, I'm not going to ask you to chime in on Mercer Gillette, but I mean, utilities and cost of energy includes heating. How much, and we only have a minute here, then we have time for an extended conversation. We'll talk about the big so-called beautiful bill and the impact of that. We have plenty of time, but you haven't been in this position particularly long, correct?
About 2.5 years.
Okay. Even in that time, has the pressure on something like heating assistance or those kind of programs, has that increased or is it about steady?
No. So we see an increase in pressure for what we call LIHEAP, which is our low-income heating assistance program. We see a definite increase in that. And we are seeing a really steep increase in people who are applying for Medicaid and SNAP.
You are?
We are.
And, okay, well, I'm going to put a pin in that because I want to sort of like demystify I want to separate myth from reality on some of the stuff as it comes to Medicaid because I don't know a lot about it and you hear stuff on the right and you hear stuff on the left and I'm on neither side, so I'm curious about some things and we'll talk about it. We'll take a quick break. Again, we're joined by Andrea Barton Reeves, the Commissioner of the Connecticut Department of Social Services. This has like been insane. We've had a very busy morning. What are you laughing at?
Nothing. Good.
We had the mayor, we had Tim Restoff from the Yard Goats, we had Eric Semmel from Tab Computers, and we have Andrea Barton Reeves in studio, which turns out we live not too far from each other, I don't think.
Exactly right.
I love Windsor.
I do too.
I do love it. I tell people, you know, in a state that doesn't have a lot of organic diversity, Windsor is the real deal.
Like, that's exactly right.
And I don't know how to describe it sometimes to people, but we moved in 2019. We're as white can be, and my kids started playing flag football. We're talking like people of color, girls, boys, and it was all seamless.
That's right.
And it was such a great thing for my family. And so I'm a huge fan of the town of Windsor. I don't know how they did it, and they got their problems, but I will tell you, it's a really great town.
Yeah.
I'm curious. So the spending bill that's making its way through the Senate, and Christine Stewart is your head of comms. Nothing's been passed. They're doing the Votorama, and they've been voting all night on amendments, and eventually it's going to pass, and it's going to pass with relatively, some would say, draconian cuts to Medicaid, I think. And how does that impact you and what you do?
It's the thing that has kept us up since there was a draft of the bill in early February. Because we have 1.2 million people in the state that rely on Medicaid in some way, shape, or form for their health care or for their ability to stay in their homes as they're aging, to receive hospital care, and also to be in what we call long-term services and support. So that would be in nursing homes or living on your own in your community. Medicaid pays for all of that. I think there
What's the total number, lay in 2024, that you got from the federal government in Medicaid?
So we got about $5.8
billion. $5.8
billion. Yeah, we have a $9 billion Medicaid budget in Connecticut. So we get about half of our money from the federal government.
So if, say, you get, what is it going to be, like $300 or $400 million less? What, do you know what it might be?
I know it'll be at least $500 million less.
Okay.
Yeah.
So $500 million less. Does that hole, is your expectation that that hole gets filled by the state?
No. I don't think any state can fill the holes that will come.
So you don't think the governor will take the rainy day fund or some of the surplus or anything like that? You'll have to deal with some negative number.
So I will leave how deficits will be filled to the governor and the legislature, because that is not my lane.
But you're operating under the assumption you will have less.
We're absolutely operating under that assumption. So that will mean that this state and every other state is going to have to make some really difficult decisions about how their Medicaid program is designed, who will get benefits and who won't, what level of benefits that people will get. And those scenarios are frightening, because even according to some of the estimates that the federal government has run, about 169,000 people in the state will lose some degree of their Medicaid under the current list of people who will have to either requalify or fulfill work requirements or just simply won't qualify anymore. Because of the cuts, we just won't have enough money to go around. Sure. And every state's struggling with that.
So I have sort of like a dual lane thing to do here.
Sure.
As I'm talking with Andre Barton Reeves, the commissioner of the Connecticut Department of Social Services, you talked about the work verification.
Yes.
And there's also the things I hear on one side are, you know, people should have to prove. There should be that verification element. They go back to Clinton, where there's a welfare to work. Mm-hmm. And then there's also this element of Medicaid for undocumented immigrants.
That's right.
Just clarify me the truth of it. Like, does Connecticut support a lot of Medicaid for undocumented immigrants? And how much does that cost you?
Yeah. So our undocumented program covers 18,000 people, and it costs about $40 million.
Okay.
I've heard a lot of numbers that are far higher than that, but that's not the number. The number is 18,000, and it's 40 million. And 15,000 of the 18,000 are children.
Okay. So it's not a huge number percentage-wise. If you're dealing with $5.8 billion, it's I don't know what the math is, but that's less than 1%.
That's correct.
Okay.
Right.
And then in terms of not welfare to work, but the work element of it, because on paper to a lot of people, it makes some sense.
Sure. It does make sense. And I can tell you that it makes even more sense in this state, because 79% of the people who are on Medicaid in Connecticut work. And so it isn't necessarily a statistic that you'll find in every state, but in this state, people who are on Medicaid who are working are considered our poor working people. Working
so it's a fact that nearly 80% of Medicaid, I just want to rephrase it because I want it to be clear.
That's right.
Nearly 80% of Medicaid recipients in the state of Connecticut are working.
That's correct.
So that brings up a macro problem, right? Does that mean that wages make it impossible or benefits make it? Because like that's And I know that an hourly worker can't live a middle class life in Connecticut. We know that.
Right.
But that if that statistic is true, and I'm assuming for the sake of this conversation it is, I don't have any verification. And mm-hmm. I tell politicians all the time, you can tell me 40% of this and 50. I can't call you on it. Right. I can't verify it.
I can okay? direct you to where
you know what
it.
I mean? But yes. I'm saying, like, you know, in the sake of conversation,
sure.
I can be like, oh, yeah, I can just prove. I don't know if it's true, but I'm assuming it is.
Right.
But that means that speaks to a larger problem in our society. If someone's working, mm-hmm. but yet needs that much government assistance to just live their life.
Right.
So what is the problem?
Well, the problem is complex. So first, across the country, we need to just have a higher living wage. So, you know, in this state, we're working very steadily towards that. We're getting to 15.
It's gotten way better.
Yeah. Right. It's gotten a lot better. But with that, we've got prices going up for rent, for food, for basic essentials that families need. And I don't know if you've ever heard of the Alice Report from United Way. So mm-hmm. I refer people to this a lot. It's a nationwide report, but there's one for every state. And in our state, the statistics are that about 39% of our families, their families of four, don't necessarily make enough to meet their basic needs in this state. And lots of families are working several part-time jobs to make up a full-time income. So if you've got two parents, they're both working two jobs, you've got two kids who are growing and they want to play sports and do all the things that kids want to do, right. It's very hard to make ends meet. And that's true not just here, but we see that across the country. But because the East Coast tends to be very expensive to live in, we feel it more acutely here.
Yeah. I mean, I don't expect you to. I mean, if you knew the answer, you'd probably be president of the United States or something, because it's a difficult thing. Yeah. But when I hear that 80% are working, they still can't make ends meet. That speaks to a larger issue that needs to be addressed. We're talking with Andrea Barton Reeves from the Department of Social Services here in Connecticut. How do you make the decisions then on where to trim your sales? Like, are you gaming it out now? Like, how do you do that?
It's a very difficult thing to do. And you do it by taking a look at the way I'll just stick with Medicaid for now. The way that the Medicaid program is designed is that there are requirements that every state has to offer under Medicaid, and then there are some optional services that states provide. And things that are optional, people wouldn't even think of, like pharmacy, right? Prescriptions and vision and dental, that's considered optional under the Medicaid program. So you now have to decide, what are you going to provide that's outside of the essential that you have to provide under federal law, that's going to continue to keep people healthy, and how are you going to pay for that? And that does mean lots of scenarios, figuring out what your priorities are, how you're going to cover people. And you still have people who are in nursing homes and hospitals and in long-term care. They need help too, and they can't afford to have anything cut back. But the way that things are currently unfolding, we're going to have to make some really tough choices.
When are you
going to
know?
I think we'll know after this bill is finally passed, and we'll have a chance to really sit down and see where the dust settles and what we'll have to decide.
In terms of conversations with the governor and legislators, mm-hmm. I mean, what do they say to you?
Yeah, they say that it's unimaginable, some of the decisions that we'll have to make, but they're looking forward to the work that we're doing at DSS to, as you say, game it out, or, you know, go through different scenarios of what we might have to do. But the idea is that we don't do this alone at DSS. There's lots of stakeholders, you know, obviously including the governor and the legislature, but also the people that are going to be impacted by these changes. They're going to have a say in that too through their advocates. And we have a Medicaid member committee that also will be weighing in. So it won't just be us. It'll unfortunately be a number of people who will have to decide.
Unfortunately, we only have like 20 seconds. Anything I didn't get to, you want to make sure people know about?
I just want people to know that we understand how hard this is. And, you know, I didn't grow up with a lot. I'm really lucky to be where I am in life. A lot of people helped me get here, but I haven't forgotten. And it's one of the reasons why I'm really committed to the work that I do. And we're going to do our best to make sure people have what they need.
It's great to meet you. We'll have you back, hopefully, when things clarify a little bit, and we'll talk about next steps.
That'd be great.
All right.
Love it.
Andrea Barton Reeves, Commissioner of the Connecticut Department of Social Services.